As already suggested in our text this morning, we're going to talk about sowing and reaping. We had a little discussion this morning in our Bible class about this to a little extent, and I found out that I was starting to preach my sermon, so I just stopped in midstream and said, well, you're going to hear it in a little while anyway. But it's such an important thing that we understand as Christians that we are to bear fruit, that we are to sow the seed of the kingdom. So today I want us to talk about sowing and reaping. Now I don't have to tell you that we live in a deceptive world. We hear things that turn out to be different from what we were told. And we've all experienced that. We've all been told one thing, expecting one thing, and the other thing happened. So we've all been in those shoes. We can be tricked. We can be deceived by things we read, by things we hear, and now, in our society, we can be deceived by things that we see. It may not be the way things really are. So we have to be careful and not allow anyone to, quote, pull the wool over our eyes. We need to be careful what we see. By the same token, spiritually, we can't turn up our nose at God and declare that things are going to happen our way. Because sometimes that doesn't happen either, does it? We don't always get our way. The only one entity that always gets his way is God. One way or the other, God will have his way. And as Christians, that should be what we want, is for God to have his way with us as well. You know, Satan has deceived man from the beginning of time. In fact, he is described in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 as the deceiver of the whole world. So if you are deceived, if you have been tricked or trapped in any way, shape, form, or fashion, it has been the work of the devil, not the work of God. We also need to understand that we cannot override the plans and the arrangements of God. As I said earlier, God is not going to be defeated. God is going to have his way. So we can't fool him. We can't defeat him, as our text actually suggests to us this morning. What I want to do today is look at four things that we can learn from sowing and reaping. And I'm not going to tell you anything new. I'm not going to say anything that you haven't heard before. We already know all of these things, but I think it's good sometimes for us to be reminded of some things as Christians when it comes to our work in our Christianity. The first thing I want to suggest to you this morning is that every one of us is sowing. If you're breathing this morning, you are sowing. You are sowing some seed somewhere to someone. Now, that's not to say that you're sowing good seed. You may be sowing bad seed. But the fact of the matter is, you are sowing. We are all living a responsible life. And what we do in life will be seen by other people. It will be noticed by other people. And one reason for that is because other people have something to do with our existence. You know, we are all here by the will of someone else. Our parents and ultimately God is the reason that we exist today. You see, God created and placed within man the power to reproduce. And God made us in His image and gave us His Spirit. God created the universe and placed us in it and gave us purpose in life. And our purpose in life is to decide where we are going to spend eternity. And He has given us that purpose to decide our own eternal destination. He didn't put us here just to be popular. He didn't put us here to make a lot of money. He didn't put us here to get married and to have children and procreate, even though He did say, be fruitful and multiply. But that was to give them that same opportunity to decide their own fate. You and I today are going to make the greatest decision within our lives as to what we are going to do with our lives. And that decision has to do with where we're going to spend eternity. And each one of us is going to do that, and it's going to be because of the seed that we sow. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus compares this decision to the story of two builders, the wise builder and the foolish builder. Now, we learned this story very young as children because we sing the song about the wise man and the foolish man who built their house, one upon the rock and one upon the sand. The wise builder attitudes will be like the one who hears the word of the Lord and obeys the word of the Lord. This is the one who will be able to face and overcome the problems of worldliness in life. And he also talks about the foolish builder, and the foolish builder attitude is the one who will hear the word of the Lord just as the wise man did, but yet refuse to obey it. This is the one who will be weak. This is the one who is going to give in to worldly ways and build his house on a very soft, a very pliable foundation, one who cannot stand up against worldliness. And these people will not stand well in judgment. The fact of the matter is, we are doing something every minute, every hour of every day that is going to have some effect on our lives and possibly the lives of those around us. We are sowing. Every one of us are sowing. The second thing is that we are sowing one of two kinds of seed. Either one or the other. Because you see, you can't sow both at the same time. You can't sow two different seeds at the same time. Now, I'm not talking about polycultural planting that is done today in our agricultural world. This is the process of planting different vegetables together within the same field. This has become very popular today in areas of small land mass and in areas where you have short growing seasons, where you put two different things in the same field together. Generally, they will have a different growing period and a different harvest time. But it has worked out pretty well for the modern farmer to do these under certain circumstances. And that's not what I'm talking about this morning. What I'm talking about is that if you drop a seed, it is only going to grow one thing, the type of seed that was dropped. Spiritually speaking, the seed that you sow is either going to bring you in harmony with God, or it is either going to push you away from God. The seed that you sow spiritually is going to do one of these two things. Now, you may change from one seed to another because we are all free to choose how we sow and what we sow, but you're still only going to sow one kind of seed, either for God or against God. It will either be the seed to the flesh, or you will sow seed to the Spirit. Now, if you sow to the Spirit, you will recognize that the soul is worth more than all the amounts of flesh. You will recognize that the spiritual things of life, the things of eternity, are far more valuable than the things that are of this world, the things that are temporary. You will also recognize that that heaven is worth more than all of earthly gain. As Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, "For what is it a profit to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?" If you sow to the Spirit, you will understand that the greatest life is the life of a servant of God. You will understand that the church is to be loved more than anything else, and you will know the truth, and you will obey it, and you will live your life in dedication of the truth of God's Word. Now, on the other hand, if you sow to the flesh, you are letting another way of life come first. You are putting something before God. You are putting something before the church. You are putting something before your Christianity. And this makes you just like the foolish builder who built his house upon the sand, And a life of this type is totally unacceptable to God. And you are doing one of the two. Every one of us in the room is doing one of the two. We are either sowing to the flesh or we are sowing to the Spirit. The third thing that we need to know is that every one of us will reap a harvest. In the life of the farmer, this may not always be true. You see, farmers will sow their crops and expect to receive a harvest. Unfortunately, sometimes they do not always reap a harvest. Drought, insects, disease can infest the crops and destroy them. Back in our home in North Alabama, we have to worry about a late freeze that can come in March or April even and kill our peaches and our early vegetables that we plant. So there's always something that can get in the way of us reaping a harvest and having and keeping our crops from growing. Sometimes the crop is not worth harvesting, and the farmer has to plow it under and begin again. Do you know that's not true with our life? You see, in our lives, in our spiritual lives, there will be a harvest. In John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Now what Jesus is saying here is there's going to be two harvests. There is going to be the good harvest. It is going to come for those who have sown to the Spirit, those who have put God first in their lives, those who have been faithful to Him and served Him and loved Him throughout their lives. And then there's going to be the evil harvest. And it is going to be for those who have sown to the flesh. It is going to be those who have turned their back on God. It is going to be those who have served worldly things and loved worldly things and not give God so much as a thought in life. All will come forth, it says, and all will reap from what they have sown. You see, we will all stand before God in judgment. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So rest assured, my friends, we will stand before God, and we will give an account for our lives, and we will reap the harvest of the seed that we have sown. Finally, we need to understand that we will reap more than we have sown. Again, let's look at the farmer. It would be foolish for the farmer to plant and not gain more than what he planted. You plant one kernel of corn, which will give you one stalk. But upon that stalk, you may have 3 or 4 ears of corn that will give you 700 plus grains of corn. That's a pretty good return for one seed, isn't it? And we've all seen the corn fields in South Georgia and the hundreds of thousands of ears of corn that comes from the thousands of stalks that stand there in that field. And we know that the corn farmer definitely reaps much, much more than he has sown. Why do the work if there's not an increase? Why go to the effort if you're not going to gain? There would be no gardeners, there would be no farmers if we did not reap more than we have sown. And I want to suggest to you, my friends, that the same principle applies to the spiritual farmer. And every one of us are spiritual farmers. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. It says here, Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left all and followed you." So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake or the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." You see, if we will sow to the Spirit, we will reap of the Spirit. 100-fold now, and in the world, when it's over, we will receive eternal life. What wonderful blessings it is to know that we will reap this by only sowing the seed of the kingdom. But on the other hand, if we sow to the flesh, we will reap corruption. When one reaps corruption, this means degradation. Degradation means the process of degrading, humiliation, shame, loss of dignity. It leads to a human trail of misery. All because we have sown to the flesh. So, we have a choice. We can sow to the Spirit, and of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Or we can sow to the flesh, and of the flesh reap everlasting death. If we choose life, this is our reward, heaven. Revelation chapter 21 describes heaven to us, and it does so in a figurative way. It talks about the beautiful things there, the precious metals, the precious stones. But it tells us in things of human form, things that we understand. We all understand gold and silver and jasper and all the beautiful things that we see here. We understand that. I don't really think that's how heaven's going to be, because heaven's going to be a spiritual place. But this was the best way that John could describe it to us. And the reason that he described it to us this way is because it's impossible for us to understand how it's really going to be. It'd be like trying to explain calculus to a 3-year-old. You can't do that. God has described heaven in terms that we can understand, because we really can't understand heaven. And I want to tell you this morning, my friends, those of us who walk through those pearly gates, we're not going to understand what we see from this side of eternity, because we can't understand how wonderful it's going to be, how beautiful it's going to be. We just have to see it through the eyes of faith to know that if we have planted the right seed, this is our reward. On the other hand, if we choose the other, this is our reward. Revelation 20 describes hell for us, beginning in verse 10. "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Fire is the most terrible pain that we can imagine. We've all burned ourselves, and we all know the pain that comes from being burned by fire. Pain from a burn can last for hours, it can last for days. The human body can be disfigured for life because of fire. Anyone who would fall into a fire, there would be torture, but it would only last for a short period of time. Not true for the reward of hell. Paul describes this punishment, this endless punishment, in 2 Thessalonians 1. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. And the only way that we can escape this is through the grace of God. And the only way that we can have the grace of God is by planting the right seed, is by giving our lives to the Lord. Remember, we are going to reap far much more than we have sown. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We need to remember, my friends, that every one of us is sowing. And we are sowing one of two kinds of seed. Every one of us will reap a harvest. And every one of us will reap according to that which he has sown. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you need to sow to the Spirit. And you can do that by hearing the Word as it comes to you, by believing that Word, by repenting of your sins, changing your life, confessing Jesus as the Son of the living God, and being buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins. And Christian, if you have done that, you need to know that you must continue in the Spirit. You must continue to sow that seed. It is a never-ending battle. As John said in Revelation 2, verse 10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." It comes after the work, after the sowing, after the toil, after the labor. But all the reward is great for those who will only sow the seed. So if you're not doing that in your life, repent of that and make your life right today. We give you that opportunity now as we stand and sing.